You know, if your life is busy like everybody's with work, maybe school, family, it sometimes can be hard to fit in regular exercise. But for all those reasons and a whole lot more, it's really important to keep moving. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Glad to have you along today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are lucky to have Ann Schwartz from the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee with us. She is an associate professor in the Department of Kinesiology at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, and she joins us today from our Milwaukee studios. And Ann, thank you so much for spending time with us. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Larry. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, and I haven't fallen off the wagon yet.
Oh, that's good to hear.
still on my morning 5K. And I've been able to keep that going for quite a long time now, actually.
That's great.
But I know we're almost, it's almost the end of the month. And statistically, a lot of New Year's resolutions are falling by the wayside. And I think probably one of the most common, or maybe the most common, is to get more exercise. Why is it that people lose, they must lose motivation? I guess that's it, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think people start out with the new year and they have wonderful intentions. They have great goals that they set. And then just about this time of year, their activities or their what they're doing starts to wane a little bit. And it starts to continue to decrease until we've lost sight of those resolutions. And there's a lot of different reasons for why we don't stick to our resolutions. One of them that you mentioned already is time. Time is, we're so busy and we're very scheduled, and we can find a lot of excuses not to do exercise and to do all those other tasks that we've taken on. And so time becomes a very critical factor for many people.
And maybe we should just talk about some concrete ways that we can stay motivated.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of different ways to stay motivated. And you can Google this and you'll find all these, you know, lists of ways to stay motivated. And the key is really to find what works for you. And look through some of those lists. And we're going to talk about a number of those items today. But figure out which ones work for you and adopt those. Probably one of the key items to keep you motivated is to figure out why you want to begin exercising. Find that reason for exercising, and it needs to be something that's important to you. So it may be something like you went to the doctor and you found out that your blood pressure is a little higher. And we know that exercise is a great treatment for high blood pressure. And so starting an exercise program is one of those things that you want to do to lower your blood pressure. Or it may be that you've started to have some pain in your back and you want to make sure that you don't end up injuring your back. And so you want to start an exercise program to strengthen your back. But it needs to be something that's really important and meaningful to you to help you stick with that exercise program.
And I think you need to make it fun, too. I mean, if at all possible.
Oh, absolutely. It definitely needs to be fun. It needs to be. And as you think about exercise, I'd love people to start thinking more broadly about it as physical activity. Because I think when you say exercise, then for many of us, it brings back these, you know, pictures of Jane Fonda and her leg warmers. And mm-hmm. And it doesn't necessarily need to be that. It can be things like commuting to work. So maybe you take your bike to work instead of driving to work. And that's something that increases your activity level and promotes health benefits. And then it ends up being a little bit more fun rather than a little bit stressful driving in the car.
And that kind of becomes a routine then, sort of a daily routine.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And that is something that's very important to staying motivated, is trying to figure out how you can work your exercise or your activity into your daily routine. For some people, it works to schedule it in, to put it in your planner or into your calendar and schedule it concretely into your day. For some people, they rely on having some sort of cue during the day telling myself, I'm going to exercise before lunch. And so it doesn't really matter what time lunch happens. Some days it may happen an hour earlier, some days it may happen an hour later. But you know that before lunch, you're going to exercise. And so scheduling it into your day helps you to stay motivated. It helps you to develop that habit of exercise or activity.
I'm one of these people who gets up early anyway. So I like, 5:30 in the morning, I can get up and do an hour or whatever it takes to do, probably not an hour, 45 minutes maybe, to do a 5K and through the neighborhood. And so that's when I do it. And I like it that time of the day.
And that's a really great point. You have to find a day that, or a time of the day that really works for you. There's no magic time of the day. You'll open up some of these health magazines and sometimes they'll say working out in the morning is better for you or working out in the afternoon is better for you. The bottom line is that you have to find a time that works for you. If you're a morning person, which I'm like you, I'll probably see you out running at 5:30 in the morning. but that works for me. I like getting up and I like getting it done. But for other people, they like their sleep. And so maybe an afternoon or a lunchtime or even an evening time will work better for them. They'll enjoy it more at that time. And then they'll be more likely to stick to it.
I just like the solitude. And it's when I do a lot of thinking, about the day and everything. So it's... that's it for me. I want to give our listeners a chance to join in, which I haven't even given the number or said anything to them. So as you listen in today, what motivates you to exercise? Or do you need some motivation or some help? Or are you getting bored with your exercise routine? Or maybe what do you do to spice up your exercise routine? Or maybe you want to know how to get started. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. Go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. You can post your questions or your comments there. Annette from Viroqua said that she suffers a little from the winter blues and blahs, which makes her not want to exercise, but guess what? She's found that exercise always makes her feel better.
Right. And there are studies that show that engaging in exercise helps prevent some of those winter blues from occurring. Mm-hmm. And whether you do it inside or outside, if you're not a big fan of the weather, there's a lot of indoor activities that you can participate in. But Wisconsin weather provides us with a lot of opportunities to be active outside. From cross-country skiing to snowshoeing to building a snowman with your kids. There's a lot of things that we can do outside that help us enjoy being active. So
on weekends when I'm not working, then I like to go a little later in the morning because mm-hmm. then I see other people, friends in the neighborhood or just people that neighbors that I maybe don't even know, sometimes chat with them a little bit, make a longer activity, maybe 7 or 8K instead of 5, and this whole business of seeing others and maybe joining forces. I never exercise with anybody else, but for some people, I think that could be useful.
Absolutely. It's a personal preference. Some people do like to exercise alone. They like the solitude. They like to use that time to think. But other people really do enjoy exercising with other people. It makes it more fun. You can make it a social event, a way to connect with some of your friends maybe that you don't have time to connect with as much as you'd like. And then you can also use those friends to help motivate you. Because there are days that we all have that, you just don't feel like exercising. And if you know that you're going to meet your friend, or if you know that you that you've committed to meet a group of people, then you're more likely to hold to that and to make it through that day of exercise.
Yeah. Elizabeth in Hortonville, has something for us. Elizabeth, hi, thank you for calling.
Good morning. I have a question regarding personal trainers. I know of acquaintances who are so proud of having a personal trainer, but I'm just wondering what qualifications are there that a person can call themselves such, and where is it good to find a reputable personal trainer?
Elizabeth, I love this question. there are a number of certifications that are available for personal trainers, and it's very much you want to look for somebody who has an education in an undergraduate degree in either exercise science or kinesiology. Sometimes the degree will be referred to, and then they've taken some certifications. I think Judith has posted something on the Facebook page, on Larry's Facebook page, that has the American College of Sports Medicine. It's called the Pro Finder.
Yes.
And you can put in your information, and it will connect you with a certified exercise professional that's in your area. The education that individuals get either in their undergraduate degree and then as well with the certifications will provide you with a much deeper understanding of what exercise is and what exercise can do for you and how to prevent injuries during that. And so finding somebody who's certified and educated is really, really important. And so hopefully that ACSM Pro Finder will help you find somebody who will work with you and help you achieve the goals that you have.
Yeah. Thanks for calling, Elizabeth. Stay listening because Judith in Chippewa Falls has something as well that relates to this. Judith, hi.
Well, that's really strange. Hi, that you're talking about that. But yes, I'm going to be 56 years old, and I decided to go to the gym, and I decided I wanted to work on my muscle groups and not be afraid of using the gym, and I actually hired a personal trainer, and she has a certification, and she's actually in college for her kinesiology degree.
Fantastic.
Yeah, actually, and it's my daughter.
Oh, that's even better.
Yes, it is, and it's amazing how much they know and how they don't hurt you, and you know 1 to 2 days later that you've actually used those muscle groups. And it makes you want to continue to do so.
Yeah, and there's so many levels of wonderfulness to your story. The fact that you and your daughter are exercising together and that she's sharing her knowledge with you and able to teach you something when you've spent your whole life teaching her all kinds of wonderful things. And so that's great. But you bring up such a great point in that it's not, you don't necessarily want, you want to have an exercise professional that's knowledgeable so that they can instruct you in the proper way to do some of these exercises so that you don't end up hurting yourself and you end up feeling the benefits from doing these activities. So that's a great story. I love that.
Thank you, Judith.
Yeah, it's a great thing to get back into, and I really appreciate that that's out there for people. So that was my little story.
Yeah, and again, as we were commenting, there's a link on Facebook for finding a trainer, as Ann was explaining. It's up on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show, so you can find it right there. Talking today with Ann Schwartz. Ann is an associate professor in the Department of Kinesiology at the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee, and joining us today from our Milwaukee studios as we talk with her about staying motivated to reach fitness goals. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. Go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. You can post your questions or comments there. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Right now, Ann Schwartz is sharing some great advice for setting and achieving fitness goals. And love to have her on. Join in at 800-642-1234. Or email us at talk@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Ann in McHenry, Illinois, up next. Ann, hi. Thank you for calling.
Question. It seems to me like I heard one time a while ago that if you're going to do cardio and some strengthening like weightlifting in the same session, you get maximum benefit if you do one before the other. Is that true, or am I imagining what I heard?
No, and that's a very common question, and that's one that I get all the time. The answer really is that it depends on what your goal is. And so if your primary goal, because people do cardio and strength training quite often, they pair those two together.
Right.
And sometimes they'll work them into the same routine with some of these more trendy types of high intensity interval training or what have you. But it really depends on what your main goal is. With cardiovascular exercise, we get a lot of benefits to our cardiovascular system. So our heart rate, our blood pressure. We also get a lot of benefit to our metabolism, how many calories we burn, how much of that energy comes from fat and things like that. So a lot of times when people engage in cardiovascular exercise, it's really for the benefit to their heart, to their muscles, to their metabolism, maybe weight loss, things like that. When people engage in strength training, they do that to maintain their muscle mass, to become stronger, maybe to have their activities of daily living be a little bit easier. And so determining what your primary goal is going to be the first step. And then if it is, in fact, burning calories, then you want to do that activity first because you're going to put more of your energy into doing that activity. And then do the strengthening next.
Oh, that makes sense.
Because you might be a little bit more tired, and so you may not necessarily give as much energy, if you will, to that second activity. And so you really want to choose the activity that is your primary goal, do that first, and then engage in the other activity second. Another thing that you could do is you could put those on separate days. You could do your cardiovascular exercise on one day, and then you could do your your cardiovascular exercise on one day, and then you're strengthening on another day. And so you could do both of those. But it really boils down to what your goal is. There's no the research shows that it's the goal is more important to getting the outcome.
Oh, okay. Now, talking about the cardiovascular exercises, is there a difference between walking fast or jogging or running, besides the fact that you're burning more calories with the latter, is there a difference between the cardiovascular benefits on either one of those, as long as you're getting your heart rate up with the fast walking?
That's exactly right. It's the inside of your body doesn't necessarily, your cardiovascular system doesn't necessarily know the difference between running or walking. It's really the intensity with which you do that activity. And so if you're getting your heart rate up to the zone that you want to get it in, then that's going to provide you with the exact same benefits whether you're walking or running. And so whichever activity is one that you enjoy more is probably the one that you should choose.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate the information.
You bet.
Sure, you're welcome. Have a great day.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Grace in Madison, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I want to tell you that sitting is the new tobacco.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
And also, I want to say that I think it would be really good if you would tell us about good exercises for winter. Because most of the things you've talked about, it's very slippery when you're running. And I think you really need those cleats on your shoes if you're doing that because of that. And I notice that because I walk every day. And also, even bicycle riding is dangerous in the winter. So talk more about exercise in the winter, especially if you like to do it outside.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, those are my comments.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks a lot for calling.
Thank you, Grace. I want to touch on something that Grace mentioned first, which is sitting is the new smoking. And we are finding that there's a lot of research out there that's showing the dangers, if you will, of sitting too much because most of our days, especially for those of us who work, we spend sitting for 8 hours a day. And we're finding that sitting, irrespective of how much activity you engage in, does have some negative effects, especially on your cardiovascular and your metabolic systems. And so the message that's being sent out now is sit less and move more. And so that falls in line with what we're talking today. But yes, that is an interesting new kind of tagline that's been put on sitting. In terms of winter exercises, there's a lot of winter exercises that you can do outside, but you're absolutely right. You have to take into consideration the safety first, because you don't want to go out and injure yourself by falling or even by slipping and just pulling a muscle. And so before you head out and do any exercise, you want to make sure to take kind of an inventory of what the weather is and what the landscape is outside. If you're living in the city, then you've got sidewalks, but not everybody gets their sidewalks cleared right away. And so then that may turn into ice. If you live out in the country, then there's a lot more opportunity because there's trails and things like that that you can take advantage of. But in terms of exercise, yeah, I'm not a bicycler in the winter. I bike to work in the summer, but when the winter comes around, I don't do that.
Yeah, I don't either.
And so, you know, you can walk and jog, of course, but then there's other things like snowshoeing and cross-country skiing, which we know burn very high amounts of calories. If you were to do those for an hour, on average, people burn around about 550 calories an hour, which is a very large amount of calories to be burning. So those are two great activities. But even things, you know, there's downhill skiing, and then even things like playing with your kids in the snow, building a snowman. Those are all ice skating. Those are activities that are really great exercises and provide you with a little bit of variety into your routine so that you don't necessarily get bored. Mm-hmm.
Hello. One other note about sitting. I understand you're supposed to get up and move. Doesn't have to be a lot. Every 20 minutes.
Right. And it depends on which agency you look at, but there are recommendations that you should get up and move either every 20 minutes, every 30 minutes, or every 60 minutes. But you're right. It doesn't have to be much. It can be standing up and moving, walking to the bubbler or to the restroom or whatever it happens to be, getting up and moving for about 2 minutes. And we know that from some studies that have been done in the laboratory that if you break up your sitting time every 20 minutes with 2 minutes of very low intensity walking, that can actually improve your blood sugar levels throughout the day. And so there's quite a bit of evidence that's mounting to the benefits of breaking up that sitting time. And it doesn't have to be with anything strenuous. It's just simply with movement.
Well, interesting. Thanks a lot, Grace, for calling. Appreciate your call very much. And I want to give some others a chance to join us. Judy in DeSoto, I think it's your turn. Hi, Judy.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
Well, you mentioned the word motivation. I had been thin my whole life. I'm 72 now. At 55, I got Lyme's disease. At 62, I had cancer, and I started gaining weight. And at 72, I discovered that I was 2 points away from diabetes and being diabetic. And talk about motivation. I bought a treadmill, a manual treadmill. I can only get on it for 2 minutes at a time, but I do it faithfully many times on and off during the day. I've lost 16 pounds, and I have more energy than I ever thought was possible. So I hope everybody doesn't have to get hit up the head by a 2x4 and find out it's a health issue, but even a little bit of exercise just makes a world of difference.
Oh.
Judy, I don't think I could have said it any better. A little bit of exercise can make a world of difference. I think that's a great point. And your story is it's a wonderful story that you're finding energy, you're losing weight, and you're probably seeing the benefits of that also within your blood sugar levels.
I'm hoping so. I have 6 months to get it down so I don't have to get on medication. So I'm completely motivated, and I'm back to work part-time. I'm a pastor, and I'm serving two little churches, and I'm loving life. It doesn't matter your age. It does not matter. There's always something you can do to be healthier.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Judy. That's a wonderful call, isn't it?
It sure was. Well, great story.
They're all good calls, and I thank Judy very much. And you as well, if you'd like to join us, the number to call is 1-800-642-1061. 1234. Give a call. You can go to our Facebook page, too, at The Larry Mueller Show, and post there, or email us at talk@wpr.org. I'd love to hear from you in any case. Ashok in Madison, it is your turn. Thank you for calling.
Well, I just want to add what she's saying. I had a bypass surgery in 1993, and I was not motivated to exercise. I joined the gym in a month or so, and then since then I have never quit the gym, because once you are in the gym, you see everybody exercising, old and young, and so you get motivated. That's my biggest problem, was motivation. So I've never quit gym since 93, and I go at least 5 days a week and spend about an hour and a half there. So, and I didn't have any more problem. I had bypass in 93. Lucky for that. Oh. That's all my comment is.
Well, thank you very much for those comments. And Ann Swartz, I bet you've got a comment.
I do. That's another great story. I love it when listeners call in with their success stories and help and share with us how they were able to stay motivated. And it sounds like, you know, seeing other people and being in that culture of exercise really helped Ashok to embrace exercise and make it part of his day and his and his life.
That's my routine.
Yeah. Right, right. But it's important for everybody to realize that you have to figure out what works for you. And the gym may be a place that works for some person, but it may not necessarily be the place that works for other people. And it's really important to figure out what works for you and to move forward with that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you again.
Expensive,
for...
by the way. It's a little expensive, but okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... Although I have a friend who signed up with an exercise club 25 years ago, and it was one of those deals where if you kept with the organization, your rates didn't go up.
Ooh, that's nice.
So he's paying 25 year ago rates.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That's like $100 a year or something.
Oh, my goodness. So the deal of the century.
Yeah, he did the deal of a century. So he kind of laughs about it. He says, I can't quit now because it's just such a good deal.
Right.
Oh, man. Jane and Eau Claire, it's your turn. Hi, Jane.
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment about, kind of follow up on the lady that was talking about safe places to exercise in the winter, especially if you're afraid of falling down and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of us here in Eau Claire walk at the mall, and it is a wonderful place to go walk. They open up real early, so for the walkers, there's dozens of people. It's safe, it's dry, it's not slippery, there's music, there's something to look at in the store windows, there's coffee afterwards, there's water fountains, and there's restrooms. And we run into people that we used to work with, old neighbors. It's really quite a social experience. Some people walk real fast, some slow, but it is free.
You know what? And you've got parking.
Yep, you park right out there, you know, it's really better than, it's more interesting than walking around at the gym.
Well, what do you think of that, Ann?
Oh, I love mall walking. You're absolutely right, Jane. It's a very popular, I think throughout the state, people will be able to go to malls and they'll find, early in the morning, they'll find groups of people who gather there either in a coordinated fashion, or it just happens that they end up there. And they develop these social networks and it's a great place to walk for all the reasons that Jane had mentioned, for the social aspect, for the visually appealing, for the safety. There's great, it's a great opportunity. And I thank Jane for bringing that up.
Me too. Thanks so much, Jane. I'm sure.
You're welcome.
I had forgotten about it myself. And I know a lot of people do it.
Right. And you can go on flat surfaces. There's stairs at the mall. So mm-hmm. you can get a little bit higher intensity if you need to do that. So there's a lot of different opportunities. And then I'm sure there's other people who do some sort of strengthening exercises as well, intermittently within their walking, whether it's some squats or some calf raises or something like that.
Rose in Menominee Falls, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi there. One of the best motivators of all is to get a dog. I walk my dog no matter what the weather is, no matter how much I might not feel like it. And there are many days that I think, oh, I just don't feel like doing that. And yet I do. And once I get out, I love the time in nature. I love the time with him. But part of my question is, the flip side of that is, for some reason, even though it's a very enjoyable experience, if I don't have him, I find a zillion reasons not to do it.
Yep, and you're not alone. you're right. I, for many years, had a dog, and that was one of my favorite things, was going out and walking with the dog and enjoying that time. Part of why it's easy to do it with a dog is because you're associating your habit of exercise or of walking with that dog. And so if that dog isn't there or isn't wanting to go out, then you don't have that automatic cue to get out there and exercise. And so part of it is really the habit that you've formed of walking with your dog. And if you don't have that stimulus, the dog, you know, wagging its tail, barking at you, whatever the dog does, then you're not automatically going to want to go out and walk.
I can tell you, in my neighborhood, at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, probably 80% of the people I run into have a dog. They're walking their dog.
There are actually a lot of studies that have looked at people who own dogs and their activity levels, and there's significantly higher activity levels depending on the type of dog, but with certain types of dogs and the owners tend to have higher activity levels.
Yeah. Rose, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call very much. Guy in Merrill, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Appreciate your call.
Well, I'm driving along and I'm listening to this conversation and I thought, I got to call in, and I'm going to be 51 and pretty soon. This past May, I was working. I was down in Madison area, and a friend of mine we were heading over to grab a beer and a hamburger, and I said, I commented, I said, geez, you look like you lost weight. And he says, yeah. He says, I had to do something, you know, because we work in a construction industry, but we kind of sit more behind the desk and in the car. And I, over the years, I went from 165 pounds up to 230. So in May, I decided that was it. I said, I went on a, changed my eating habits. And then I started walking every night. And then as soon as I lost some weight and started feeling better, I started jogging again. And then I got back into running. And so I'd alternate. I'd run couple days, I'd walk a couple days, but my eating habits were what really got me to lose the weight. I lost 50 pounds, so I had some back issues, so I started doing stomach crunches, and now I got a six-pack ab. I go to the gym, this little gym we got, every night after everything's kind of settled down at the house, I go there. It's quiet. There's probably nobody. Usually there's nobody there, and I do 30 minutes on the elliptical, and then I do 30 minutes on weights. And I remember a lady calling in saying about, what generates more calorie loss. Well, I had a little thing. I tried the elliptical for 30 minutes, and I went on the treadmill, and I just walked for 30 minutes just to see. And I burnt, almost three times the calories on doing the elliptical. And it's low impact, and it's good for you. Builds up a good sweat, and you feel good when you're done. And 30 minutes is all I do. And I've been able to keep the weight off, and I'm actually kind of looking at a little more, but my blood sugar levels were so high that I was looking at diabetes. My cholesterol levels was, now everything's back down to where it should be. So,
oh, great.
People think that they can't do it at 50 or whatever. It can be done, and it doesn't have to be a drastic change. Mm-hmm. It can be done easily, enjoyably. I enjoy it. And if you don't exercise every night, on the weekends go snowshoeing. We went snowshoeing Saturday. That was my exercise for the day, and I went ice fishing and drank a few beers.
Ah, there you go. That's fun, too. I like that part of it, too. What do you think, Ann?
Yeah.
That's a great, another great success story. And again, guy figured out what worked for him, and he worked it into his routine. He figured out that after work, when everything was calm, that's when he could do it, and he made it work for him. And now he's got such a great success story that he's sharing with everybody. And his health is better. He's lost weight. His blood sugar levels are better. So it's a great story.
Yeah, and thanks a lot, Guy. And I tell you what, ice fishing, you're going to burn some calories out there, walking out there, digging those holes with an ice auger. Is you can build up a sweat in a pretty big hurry once that ice gets a little deeper. So even that is a good exercise. Kim,
well, Larry,
yes, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Larry, I hate to admit it, but I grew up in Wisconsin, and I've never been ice fishing, so I can't speak to ice fishing.
it is
so
much fun.
It's a crime.
And the fish tastes so much better when
they're caught. Have eaten the fish, yes.
Oh, well, let's give our – by the way, I want to give you a chance to join us as you listen in. Have you got a question or what motivates you to or an experience to share? Call us at 800-642-1234. Talking today with Ann Swartz. Ann is associate professor in the Department of Kinesiology at the UW-Milwaukee. Joins us today from our Milwaukee studios. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you listening in on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here taking a look at exercise today and staying motivated to reach your fitness goals with Ann Swartz, Ann, associate professor in the Department of Kinesiology at UW-Milwaukee. And great to have her along, and always a lot of fun when she joins us. You can call with your question or comment or experience at 1-800-642-1234. Kim in Ladysmith has a question or a comment. Let's go to her right now. Kim, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I think I'm on the other end of the spectrum where I taught Syed for 31 years in health, and I was in marathons and triathlons, and I was in two college sports, and I lifted weights, and I did cross training, and now I retired, and it's like the days go by, and I'm like, I haven't done any exercise, and I used to get a lot of exercise teaching 9 classes a day of elementary, and I didn't have to worry about it, and now it's like I don't even have a goal anymore, and I don't know what to do.
Oh.
Really frustrated.
Wow.
It sounds, Kim, like you led an extremely active life, and all of that activity was built into your career, kind of, it was part of what you did on a daily basis.
Right.
And so now, instead of having it be automatically worked into your day, it's now up to you to choose whether or not to do it, which is very difficult. It's a difficult place to be. And so, you know, one thing to think about is first of all, you know, we talk about scheduling it in, and we've talked about that already today, but also try and sneak in a little bit of activity. Remember that it doesn't necessarily have to be these big, long bouts of activity for you to receive health benefits from it. You can do as little as 10 minutes of activity. Even things like taking the stairs instead of taking the elevator can benefit you. So remember that there's those things that you can do. But then, yeah, it's trying to figure out, you've played college sports, you've done activity classes, you've taught activity classes, you've taught gym. And so figuring out what it is that you would like to do now, you know, and maybe it happens that you go to your local gym and you try a couple new different activities, or maybe it's you explore some of the other sports that are out there that you haven't done in the past and try some of those to get you going.
Yeah.
And then, you know, one other thing is think about some of your friends and pairing up with a friend and trying something new together, or maybe your spouse. And trying something new together, and that way it'll be that much more fun.
Something to think about.
Okay, I have a membership, you know, month by month, mm-hmm. and the month goes by, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I've only gone there 3 times. And I do help out with downhill skiing, and I am active, but I'm not the physical activity that I need to do. So, well, thanks for the advice.
Yeah.
Oh, sure, Kim. Good luck.
Thank you very much for calling. I appreciate your call. Jenny in Sauk City, it's your turn. Hi, Jenny.
Hi. I hope your guest can help me. I'm 70 years old. I work a full-time job. I'm on my feet all day. Sometimes I work first shift. Sometimes I work second shift. I'm tired most of the time. So I grab what I can to eat. My eating isn't good. Plus, I've got a heart problem that if I do much any strenuous exercise, take the steps, I just have a terribly hard time breathing. And because of all this, I've lost all motivation. I'm not terribly overweight, but I would like to lose about 30 pounds. And I can't afford a gym, and I can't afford a personal trainer. I can't afford these things. I have very little money, so I can't go out and get exercise equipment. And like I said, my time is really limited because I work a lot of hours a week. Does she have any suggestion?
Jenny, your situation is a challenging one, but I think that you can work through it if you want to. One thing that I would recommend first is sitting down and kind of taking a look at your day. Put your day out on a calendar or on a piece of paper, and list out what you do during the day, and find out if there's any spots in there maybe where you could work in a little bit of activity. And when I say a little bit of activity, I mean just 10 minutes of walking or, maybe the other things that we've talked about, things like taking the stairs instead of taking the elevator. But trying to find those spots in your day where you could fit it in. It sounds like you're very busy with two jobs and getting up early in the morning. And because of that, you're so exhausted. So trying to fit it in someplace during the day is going to be probably one of your best places to start. And then once you start doing that activity, then you might start feeling the benefits of it, feeling a little bit more energized, so that then maybe you'll want to work it in other places. Leaving it to the end of the day, because you've got such a busy day, then you probably won't have the energy, and it'll take so much more motivation to get you going and do that little bit of activity. So if you can work it in sometime earlier in the day, maybe around lunchtime, but then also applying these planning strategies to what you're eating as well. So trying to plan out what you're going to eat that day, or, pack your lunch kind of purposefully so that then you're providing yourself with nutritious foods that are going to help you have a little bit more energy during the day.
And my exercise doesn't cost anything. Well, it costs me in shoes. I wear out shoes, but I'm mostly walking or jogging and in the neighborhood. And I know it can be harder in wintertime, but even, Ann, what if she sent or set the alarm clock for just like 20 minutes earlier or 15 minutes early?
Absolutely. I mean, that's a great strategy. But it also depends on if Jenny has the desire to do it at that early in the morning.
Yeah, maybe.
If she's tired and she needs her sleep, we all know that sleep is really important. That restorative sleep helps you to function throughout the day. It keeps your eating in check, and it helps you to have the energy to exercise or to get in that activity. Maybe lunchtime might be a great time.
Mm-hmm.
Or right before lunch, depending on what her job is and the flexibility within her job, that might be a good strategy. But also, the other listeners that have called in have brought up some really great inexpensive opportunities for activity. The mall walking is a great example of that. You're running outside, doing some of the outdoor winter activities, and also keep in mind that you can engage in a little less activity on the days that you're working, and maybe then a little more activity on the days that you're not working. And so you have a variety or flexibility within your schedule so that you can attain the goals, which is, it sounds like, getting a little bit more exercise into your life.
Anne in Madison, we turn to you next. Thank you for calling. Hi.
Well, thank you. I also wanted to suggest a really superior walking place if you're in Madison or Verona, and that is the EPIC campus, the EPIC Systems campus. They have all these different buildings, and each building has a different theme. And within those themes are, you know, like conference rooms that also have themes, like the farm or aviation might be the theme. And the attention to detail, the artwork, it's just an outstanding place to walk, and they welcome people. They welcome your dog. And they also will lend you a wheelchair if you have somebody coming to visit, you know, like a company or something, and you just want to show them something really cool. You stop at the front desk, which is right near the visitor parking, and during the week you sign in and get a name tag. Sorry about that. I'm going to go outside. Get a name tag. And then during the weekend you just sign in as a visitor and you don't have to wear a name tag. The hours are 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. during the week, except they ask you to not be there between 10:30 and 1:30, so not at the lunchtime. Huh? And on Saturday and Sunday, they're open 8 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Wow. Who knew? I mean, I'm certainly familiar with EPIC. It's a very successful business, and they're very innovative. And I'm really glad to hear that they've opened their campus.
Yeah, that's fantastic that they've opened their doors to people to encourage walking and activity. That's wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks again, Ann, for letting us know about that. You know, we had a comment from Lorraine from Mineral Point. For Christmas, she got a Fitbit. And it's been a great motivator for her. She takes the long way when walking somewhere at work to get more steps in, takes the stairs a lot more because the Fitbit tracks that it's been and that's been a lot of fun and a great way to get encouraged.
These wearable devices that track our activity have become really popular. It's a multi-billion dollar industry now, and there's a variety of different devices that are out there for you to choose from. There's a great article in the New York Times. You can Google it, and it might be on the Facebook page as well, on Larry's Facebook page. But it's called The Well Guide to Activity Trackers.
Yep.
And it provides you with a short summary of many of the devices that are out there, where you wear them, whether it's on the wrist or on the hip, how much they cost, what information they give you, if it's just physical activity, if it also monitors your sleep. So there's a variety of different trackers that are out there. And these really have become so successful because it provides you with that feedback, concrete feedback that tells you how you're doing. And so you can look back at your week and you can say, oh, it tends to be that on the weekends, I'm not nearly as active as I am during the week when I thought I was being really active. But we don't take into account all the things that we do during the day, you know, getting up and walking to the restroom or walking to the bubbler or parking your car and walking into work. You know, all those things we don't necessarily think of as activity, but it really does, that movement does help us to become healthier individuals. So these activity trackers are really a great tool, and they vary in price. If you're just interested in kind of getting a general idea of how much activity you do, go for a simple pedometer. Because what they provide you with is total steps that you've taken during the day, and you can check on that throughout the day. They're not super fancy, but it provides you with really great information, and you can get those for as little as $15. So you don't necessarily have to spend the $150 or up to get all this sophisticated feedback on your activity.
Yeah, and if you already have a smartphone, as I've got a smartphone, and I have an app that I got it for free first, the free version of Map My Run, and then I think I spent $4 to get the better version, supposedly. And I could have gotten along just fine on the free one.
Right. And there's a number, Map My Run or Map My Walk. It's very similar apps from the same company. And then MyFitnessPal. And you can not only track your fitness information, but then a lot of times you can enter in some of your dietary information. So you can kind of get a little bit more holistic view of your lifestyle habits, which is really helpful in reflecting on what you've done and how much you've accomplished, especially if you've started your exercise routine at the New Year's. You can look back and say, oh, that first week, you know, I did 10 minutes on Tuesday and I did 10 minutes on Thursday, and now I'm up to doing 15 minutes on 4 days of the week. And so you can kind of look back and say, wow, look at what I've done. Look at how much I've progressed and how much more I can do now versus when I started.
I have a friend who has a Fitbit, and she's keeps track of her steps. And now, at the end of the day, she's, oh, I'm 1,000 steps short or something. And out the door she goes and does the extra, which I'm sure she never did before.
Right. It's a great motivator, especially when you have that goal, whether it be a 10,000 step per day goal or whatever it happens to be. When you have that goal and you see that you're just shy of that goal, you get that feedback to tell you that, then it's a great motivator.
Absolutely a great motivator. Mm-hmm. And we've got a great motivator with us on the air here, Ann Swartz, and she's going to be with us right up till 12:30. We'll take a quick look at the news, and then we will be back with Ann. You stay with us. There are some people who seem to have no trouble putting on the workout clothes and getting out the door to exercise, whether it's in the gym or taking a jog around the neighborhood. Larry Mueller here. Finding the right combination of fitness activities to both get to your goals and to keep you motivated, it can be difficult, but there are so many reasons to do it, maybe for your mind, for your body, for your spirit. Ann Swartz, our guest, is an associate professor in the Department of Kinesiology at the UW-Milwaukee and joins us today from our Milwaukee studios. And Ann, it is always a pleasure. Thank you for joining us today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. I always have so much fun with you.
Oh, it's great. It's great fun, isn't it? And it's inspiring to hear from so many folks as to what they're doing to get motivated, to stay motivated, and to reach their goals.
Oh, the success stories are so wonderful to hear. And it's also great when the callers bring their challenges to the other listeners. And the other listeners respond and provide what worked for them. Because although we may make recommendations here, it's really an individual it's very individualized. People have to figure out what works for them and then follow through with that.
Tim in Milwaukee has something for us. Tim, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, thank you. I was wondering if losing fat weight is my goal, does it matter if I do aerobic or anaerobic exercise, which would be best? And what about eating? How long should I abstain from eating before and or after a workout to get the maximum benefit of that workout?
Tim, that's a really popular question this time of year and throughout the year. You know, many people are interested in losing weight. And in particular, when we lose weight, we really want to lose that fat weight. We don't want to lose our muscle weight. And so having a good plan that involves both dietary change as well as exercise, inclusion of exercise, is really important. Now, one thing that I always cringe when I have to say this, but the best way to help you lose weight is through changes to your diet. And so decreasing caloric intake, and I'm not a nutritionist, and I don't claim to be one, but I do know that that decreasing the amount of calories that you take in is going to get you that weight loss much more so than exercise will. What exercise does is it helps you stay on track with the weight loss. And then once you've lost that weight, exercise has been shown to be the most important component to maintaining that weight loss. And so with that being said, getting back to your questions, you want to make sure For weight loss, the cardiovascular, the aerobic activity is what's going to help you burn those calories. And at the same time, engaging in resistance training, strength type activities is going to help you build muscle mass. And what helps you burn calories when you're not doing anything, when you're sitting down watching television, is that muscle mass. And so a combination of the cardiovascular exercise to help you burn calories, and then the strengthening exercise to help you maintain that muscle mass or even increase that muscle mass is going to help you achieve your goals. In terms of eating around exercise, you don't necessarily want to restrict your eating. You're going to have a comprehensive dietary plan, and that's not necessarily going to be restricting your eating right before or after exercise. But what you do want to make sure to do is eat about an hour before you exercise so that you don't necessarily get cramps or anything while you are exercising. Some people do tend to, depending on what their goal is, eat certain things after exercise, whether it's, you know, a protein shake with a little bit of sugar in it to help you repair any muscle damage that was done during that activity. But in general, if your goal is weight loss, then you do just really want to focus on a holistic dietary approach, as well as then including the cardiovascular and the resistance training exercise in there.
There you go. Thanks, Tim, for calling. Gail in Fish Creek, your turn. Hi, Gail.
Well, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Such really good comments and good calls from everybody coming in about, you know, what to do and where they're kind of feeling stuck. And I thought I would call up and share something that I've known, that for some people who have need to have a boost for their immune system, and they're taking care of trying to replenish their immune system, exercising every day might not really be a good thing for them, thinking that they're wanting to get moving, because they have to give their body time to integrate the exertion. So sometimes it's more advisable for them to exercise like every other day or every third day, where they put out their exertion of doing something. So I can see where the one woman calling was kind of feeling like kind of fatigued and can't get moving. She's really working two jobs and stuff. She's working a lot. And she might need to just find times to rest that will help get her energy back rather than trying to boost out. Because sometimes we have to do an opposite thing. We find in getting the energies to balance out when you're trying to work with how you replenish your chi, whether burning it all off. Mm-hmm. And Edgar Cayce used to say the mantra for them for diet and for exercise was to, after breakfast, work a while, after lunch, rest a while, and after dinner, walk a mile. And if you did that, you stayed in balance and you got a rhythm going, and you could find your energy from that, and your spiral would begin to increase, and your vitality level would go up. So I thought I'd call and share mm-hmm. that with you guys.
Thanks, Gail, for calling. And what do you think?
I think that's a great comment, Gail. It reinforces the point that you don't necessarily need to be exercising every single day, and you don't necessarily need to be exercising really vigorously to enjoy the benefits of exercise. You do need to allow your body time to rest, and especially sleep. Sleep is such an important part, and we're learning more and more about sleep and the importance of sleep in terms of restoring your body's physiology and restoring your peacefulness within your mind. And so sleep is very important, but then also variety of activity. Keep in mind that you don't necessarily need to be doing the same thing every single day. We talk about, Larry, you and I share a love of running, and this is what we enjoy doing. But it's also good to incorporate other activities that maybe aren't necessarily as vigorous into our exercise routines. And so that might be something like yoga. It might be something like going for a walk in the woods, you know, something that might be a little bit less stressful to allow our body to recover from that vigorous run that we had the day before.
Yeah, Megan emailed us and teaches a group exercise classes at North Point Wellness Center in Roscoe, Illinois. She wondered if you'd talk about the importance of a cool down after exercise, including stretching flexibility exercises.
Right. The cool down from a physiological standpoint is really important. What the cool down allows your body to do is it allows your heart rate to come down a little bit slower. It allows your body to deal with all the elevated levels of hormones and other substances within your blood and helps your body to clear those out and get those back down to a baseline level. If you were to exercise at a moderate or a vigorous intensity and stop cold turkey, what might happen is you might start to get a little bit lightheaded. And that lightheadedness happens because your blood tends to pool in your lower limbs and you don't have that muscle action that acts to pump the blood back up to your heart. And so in order to prevent that lightheadedness, you want to engage in some sort of cool down type activity. Now, commonly we do a light cardiovascular, you know, maybe if we're running, then we go down to then we walk real slowly, or if we're walking, we slow down our pace even more so as we cool down. And then after we get our heart rate, our body temperature, and things back down to close to a resting level, then we can engage in some stretches. And that's a great time to engage in stretches because your muscles are warm, they're a little bit more limber, and so you can try to maintain or improve that flexibility that you have.
We have Evia in Madison next with a comment. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. This is actually my first time calling. I love the topic, so I have to, you know, call in. So I'm a medical student at University of Wisconsin-Madison, and I just love the topic. I have recently started exercising more routinely, and I found that I have more energy throughout the day. You know, as a medical student, we have to be ready to go, alert and oriented, you know, as early as 5 a.m., 5:30 a.m., 6 a.m., and then have our clinic responsibilities and then oftentimes have to study for those big tests in the evening. And so it requires a lot of concentration, energy, being really focused. And I found that incorporating exercise has actually allowed me to do all of those things and accomplish those things. I should also mention that, you know, as a student, we're also taught about motivational interviewing techniques, so how to encourage patients to meet some of their basic health goals, whether it's, you know, smoking cessation, and of course, you can't talk about weight loss without talking about motivational interviewing. So we're learning how to identify goals and encourage, you know, patients to do all of those things. So I just wanted to provide that comment. And personally, very quickly, I found that to stay motivated, I've paired exercise with something that I have to do almost every day or every day. So before I shower in the morning, I have to exercise, or before I eat my dinner, I have to exercise. So I found that pairing it with something that I do makes me feel uncomfortable if those things are not done. So thank you.
Oh, great comments. Anne?
So I love what Evie is doing. She's using these situational cues to help work exercise into her day. So earlier we talked about maybe having lunch as a situational cue. What she uses is showering in the morning. She exercises before she showers, and then that gets her day going. And she's been able to successfully build the habit of exercise by using those situational cues. I also love that she's a medical student and valuing exercise. One of the campaigns by the American College of Sports Medicine is called Exercise is Medicine, and trying to promote the benefits of exercise as a preventative tool as well as a therapeutic tool. So great to hear that.
That was great to hear, too, that there's in terms of instruction, that there's instruction being built into, or that is built into the medical school program to teach budding doctors how to relate to people and get them to, or help them to get onto programs like this.
Absolutely, because it's difficult to make lifestyle changes. It's really, really difficult.
It is. Evia, thank you so much. Jean in Waukesha, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. One of the problems I always have with hearing about, just go out and walk, and people who are extremely arthritic, especially in their feet or ankles, it's, well, it can just only do so much.
Right.
And then they said, well, go swim. Well, if you got the money for a club or something, you can go in the pool. I wonder if there's some listing or how people would find in their community. I mean, we're all paying taxes for our schools. Can the community go and use these pools for, you know, just, you know, water exercise, either swimming or whatever?
Hmm.
Or do we? Does everybody kind of have to call their own whatever?
I think it's local jurisdiction.
Department.
Yeah, I think it's local, isn't it, Anne?
I would say so. I think some communities are really great at promoting what they have available. And some, within some communities, these are kind of hidden gems. But probably within your local communities, there would be something. And I wish I had a one-stop resource for everybody, you know, that people could post, or that these resources were posted online. I know within Milwaukee, there's community centers and senior centers that are located throughout Milwaukee that are available either free or at a very low cost. I'm not as familiar with what's available in Waukesha, but I'm willing to bet that if you called the city government, that they would be able to direct you to something, or even the Y in Waukesha might be able to direct you someplace that has low cost or free services or facilities available.
Mm-hmm. So something I think
that's a problem in the winter. It really is, because, you know, with the ice and the snow, and if you're not very well balanced or ambulatory, it's,
yeah,
you know, it's a problem.
Absolutely.
But one thing I do with, I don't know if it's worthwhile or not, but if I'm even just watching TV, I'll lay on the floor and just do bicycle wheels, you know, with my legs, you know, pedal, and just to figure getting the circulation going, you know. So.
Absolutely. You know, and there are other activities, you know, that you can do within your house, whether it's doing bicycles or walking in place or going up and down your stairs. Those activities are going to be activities that are going to be beneficial for you. And you can look online at and just Google home exercise programs, and you'll come up with, there are some free websites that'll show you some routines that you could do at home, 10 of these, 10 of those, you know, and that can help you. But then also think back to Jane, an earlier caller, who had suggested mall walking, and I don't know how close you are to, say, Brookfield Square Mall or anything like that, but that might be another option, whether you want to drive yourself to the mall and do some activity in the mall.
Sure, that's another good point. Yeah, good luck, Jean. Thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it very much. Daniel commented on Facebook that he works out at a community center. He said most of the people there are older, and most are a lot out of shape than he is. He's younger than them, and that actually helps to motivate him a little bit.
Yeah, you know, Larry, it's interesting. A lot of these comments have been focused on whether the environment, and when we talk about the environment, it's the built environment as well as the weather environment, whether it's supportive of our physical activity. And that's a challenge that we do have in Wisconsin, especially if with some of the inclement weather that comes in the winter, trying to overcome that barrier and find strategies to be able to make sure that we do get the activity in our days. And with all these suggestions that people have brought in, it's a really great resource for individuals to try and get other ideas of what else we can do on these days where it's icy and really bitterly cold outside.
We have an email, too. I hope Kim from Ladysmith is still listening in, because Lynn wants to ask Kim to start a women's exercise club. She just moved to the Ladysmith area and is searching for an exercise coach. I know a few exercise opportunities in this area. So going back to Kim, you know, she had all that, had achieved her exercise goal, was kind of burnt out. Maybe forming a women's exercise club would be something.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And there you get the support of friends and people around you to help motivate you to stick with that exercise, mm-hmm. and maybe get over those humps where you just aren't really into it anymore.
Jen in Mattawa, Minnesota, thank you for calling. Hi.
Yeah, hi. Thanks so much for taking my call. I always really enjoy this show. I'm 55, and I'm one of these people who was blessed for my first 45 years or so where I was fairly tall and thin, and I didn't really have to work at it at all. And I'm very active. I've got 3 horses, and we've got dogs and chickens. And so I'm always doing chores and whatnot outside. But once I turned 50, I really started struggling with my weight, especially over winter. And I also developed this belly fat that we get, or that at least women get. I don't know if men get the same thing. But it's this different type of belly fat, and it looks different, and it's just very, very resistant to exercise and diet, and couldn't get rid of it. So anyway, I started going through all the different exercise equipment pieces, and I'm very active outside, but I hate exercising indoors. I'm very lazy indoors. And so the bike didn't work. The Nordic Track didn't work. The elliptical didn't work. They're all down in the basement where my husband uses them religiously. And so I ended up finally getting a total vibration machine. And when I started researching this online, I was amazed that I had never heard of it before, because the benefits are just amazing for everything, for neuromuscular, for rehab, for weight loss, for bone density. The list is just endless on the benefits. And when I first got it and I heard how easy it is, all you do is there's a platform that's maybe about 40 by 24 inches. You stand on it. It's got a rubber top on it, and you stand on it without shoes. And then you can adjust the vibration, and it just vibrates.
You know what? And we're almost out of time, and I want to know, I want to get Ann in here, Jen, just to see it. Have you had experience with this, with these total vibration machines?
Well, exactly as Jen said, they're becoming more and more popular, and so we're starting to see them in the commercial realm a lot more than we have before. The research on these is really in their infancy. There isn't a lot of conclusive evidence that has been done to show the benefits that are being purported by a lot of the companies that make these vibration machines. But you know, you do get a lot of feedback from individuals who have tried them who really like them and find that they work for them. And then you also do get feedback from individuals who didn't really get the benefits that they were looking for from them. And so so it's still in its infancy. I think we're going to find some new and interesting things out about it over the next couple of years.
Well, I tell you what, Ann, it's always a pleasure to have you with us, and I hope we have a chance to get together again soon. I really enjoyed our conversation today. Appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you very, very much. Ann Swartz is an associate professor in the Department of Kinesiology at the UW-Milwaukee, joining us today from our Milwaukee studio. She does a wonderful job, doesn't she? Really great talking with her. And really great having you listen in today. And as always, there's a whole lot more going on this afternoon. So you stay with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.